Hello, and welcome to What Is Pod May Never Die, the Game of Thrones podcast from the Georgetown Voice. It is our second episode, but we will be reviewing episode one of season seven of Game of Thrones today. Exciting stuff. So with me today, we have my wonderful co-host, Caitlin Mannering.
Thank you. Hi, everyone.
And our guest for this week, Graham Pirro.
Hi, everyone.
All right, so let's hop right into it. Just as the show did, with a nice cold open, opening with Walder Frey, or a man who we presume to be Walder Frey. Maybe a bit confusing, because he was killed in the finale of last season. He's hosting a nice feast for his whole house, as numerous as they are. Only it turns out it is not Walder Frey, but Arya Stark, wearing his face as she does.
And imitating his voice.
Yeah.
How does she do that?
It's just the magic of wearing someone's face. That's how it works.
Okay,
it
I have a lot magic. Of questions.
About it's unexplained. You just got to accept it.
I'm going to say, I definitely did not realize it was Arya. I'm like, I'm confused if we're supposed to see Frey, like, if this is hell or something. And like, that would be stupid. Like, so, I don't know.
But, so anyway, it's Arya Stark, and she poisons and kills the entire House Frey, essentially.
Thank God.
It was satisfying to watch. Yeah. I will say, to brag a little bit, totally knew that was going to happen within like 10 seconds of the scene. No big deal. Whatever.
Oh, excuse us.
I think he could be lying. No.
Yeah, that's true. There's no way we can check.
Can't prove it.
I am a big fan of the Mission Impossible style tears the face off and it's another person. I was half expecting there to be Tom Cruise underneath. I would have died
if
there was Tom Cruise. I mean, considering the cameo that happened later in the episode would not have been the worst thing that
episode. That's true. It wouldn't be super out of character for the episode. I do want to touch on this point. It does seem like something the show is doing more and more is kind of playing into fan service a little bit. I would say they were definitely doing that with the ceremonious killing off of an entire house that kind of everyone hated.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it isn't necessarily a bad thing, I don't think, but it's just kind of something that the show has embraced more and more.
I think it's also, like, narrative efficiency, because they only have 13 episodes left, so they're kind of like, okay, like, we have no more narrative use for House Frey. Let's just kill them off. And we don't have to worry about them anymore. Which is a very efficient way.
And have them not, like, uprise against anyone because, like, the head of their house was, like, killed or something.
Yeah, they're done.
They're done. I do feel like the cold open, though, was kind of wasted in this episode. It was very, like, I don't know, nothing at first.
It's like, it didn't really do anything to deserve having the cold
open. Like, I think last season when it was the cold open with the Hound, we hadn't seen this character in over a season, and it was like, oh my god, like, this is amazing. Like, it was a great shot, but this one, it was just so, like, I don't know. Didn't hit me at all.
Yeah, I thought that the shot that followed the credits when it was the long shot of the White Walkers approaching, even though it was later revealed that, like, that's through Bran's eyes, I thought that could have been a really effective cold open if it was just the long shot right into the credits. That could have been really foreboding. Yeah. Although then the problem is, how do you establish that that's Bran's perspective?
Yeah.
I mean, they could have just done that whole scene with Bran. It is right after the credits and could have just been like,
or just like
see that really cool thing. The actual scene with Bran is pretty short.
Yeah. Or just like switch to Bran's face like right before the opening sequence.
Or just like continue on the shot and then cut to Bran. I don't know. Yeah. They could have figured it out. Yeah, I was a little disoriented and I didn't really think like the first scene deserved or earned the cold open status. No.
Well, that's what they went with. And then a nice intro. Haven't seen that for a long time.
Yeah.
It's always a fun intro.
I made us watch the whole thing. It's great. Thank God.
Good. That's one of like the few, because it actually reveals details about where the episode will take place.
Exactly.
That is one of the few like title sequences that like you need to watch if you're watching.
Gotta understand what's going on.
If you're a true fan.
Okay, so then after that credit sequence, we have the scene with Bran that we were talking about a bit with that pretty awesome shot of the whole White Walker army. They have giants.
Multiple giants.
Yeah. Scary stuff. Yikes. That is going to be a lot.
Yeah.
And then so Bran and Meera get to the wall finally after a long journey.
Forever.
They're met by old Dolorous Ed Talent.
Love him.
Not very Dolorous. The confusing thing about this is that he was like, how do I know you're Bran Stark? And then Bran tells them, like, look at this Three-Eyed Raven stuff. Yeah, I know all these things about you.
Yeah.
But Ed doesn't know that he's the Three-Eyed Raven.
Yeah, it means nothing. It's like, let me tell you all these things that you've done, Ed. But it's like, okay, how do I still know you're Bran Stark? Like,
right,
how
does, those, that Starks, mean those Starks and their psychic abilities.
Yeah, what?
Like, if anything, that would have maybe not allow him to come.
Yeah,
just
be like, crazy
okay.
kid.
Yeah, I know you're
you
not like
a bad guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was...
How do you know this?
That was sort of confusing, but he's at Castle Black now, so, I mean, I would assume that he's gonna end up meeting with Jon soon.
Please.
As we discussed, and Sansa also, and Arya's around. Who knows? We might get a whole Stark
I'll
family reunion. It's kind of amazing. Speaking of Jon and Sansa, that's where we went to next. With kind of, it seemed like it was just immediately after Jon was proclaimed king of the North.
It did
because they were still in that meeting hall.
They're talking about getting Dragonglass. He's trying to get people to build that up. Who's gonna have any in the North? Like, I'm really confused where he's like, yes, we need to mine it, you need to...
Yeah, where is it
like,
gonna be in...
Was that the same place that Stannis told Sam about? Was that...
Well, that's... So that's Dragonstone, that's where Daenerys was. We'll get to that.
Oh.
But in the North, like, it's kind of unclear how much of that they're actually gonna be able to get.
But, of course, we're building up to that big Jon and Sansa conflict. She undermines him during his little
speech. And then
speech.
He shuts her down, though.
Yeah,
he
like twice, which, oh, so awkward.
It's pretty
so
awkward.
So Littlefinger's definitely gonna play
really
on that.
Stir that.
Yeah, there's like a nice intrigue triangle there between Littlefinger, Sansa, and Jon. Obviously, Sansa at this point is like with Jon.
Yeah.
But then Littlefinger kind of is trying to pry her away from that and be the one to influence her on who knows
we try
what
to,
else.
I feel like they try to, like, lull us into, like, a sense of complacency with her going, like, no, like, I wasn't going to undermine you. That's not what I meant. So it's like, oh, they're fine, but we know.
Yeah.
There's some shits going down between them. Yeah, we got a nice Lyanna Mormont cameo in that.
I think every episode needs to have one Lyanna Mormont moment where she just says something and it kicks ass, because she is one of the greatest characters.
She's amazing.
On the show.
I guess they're not only having women fight in the North. Apparently, we are also training young girls, which I don't know if like if it's humanity is going to be wiped out. Yeah, you probably should be.
Just get everyone. I don't
just get
everyone.
Yeah.
10 to 60. I don't know why you're limiting it to that. Like 5-year-olds, give them a spear.
Let's go.
Some of those White Walker skeletons are pretty small, so like
they could take it.
Yeah,
they're fast.
Right.
Yeah.
they can dodge. They're quick and nimble.
I think definitely though the best scene when we were up in Winterfell was that Brienne and Tormund little
that their chemistry is steaming.
It's amazing.
She
is
really
still
something.
Horrified by him. I think
it's gonna happen this season.
Yeah, he's definitely.
I think Brienne and Tormund have a better chance than Littlefinger and Sansa of having an actual romance.
Oh
yeah,
my God.
Probably. I mean, I really don't think that's gonna happen. I hope that would be really horrible. Like Red Wedding, pretty bad, but like Littlefinger and Sansa ending up together would just be gross.
That would be
disgusting. No thanks.
Yeah.
But so Sansa does kind of end that scene there by saying that she knows what Littlefinger wants.
Yeah.
Her?
I mean, yes.
I don't know.
It's either that or the throne.
It's
like those
the,
are my
I feel
two
like it's
guesses.
The throne.
I
feel
I
like
know.
Every play he's made up to this point. He's been to, like, get a bigger, like, portion of power. Like, I feel like for the throne. Like, everything he's done has led up to him, like, you know, like, getting an army, like, the veil. Like, I don't know. I think he wants Sansa to be his queen, but I don't
that
think that's
probably,
his primary
probably,
goal. Like, if she died, I don't think he
but
would really care.
What's interesting is at the beginning of that conversation, you also had him asking Sansa, are you okay? And then, like, are you happy?
Yeah.
Which is some... It's
ew.
Odd that Littlefinger's asking.
It's weird.
Like, don't try to be human. Be
like,
Littlefinger.
But I also,
be,
like,
be.
It seemed to me, like, kind of like a ploy to kind of influence her.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
like,
you seem upset.
Yeah, to make
I'll
dissent,
make you happy.
Yeah, between her
yeah.
and Jon.
All right, so let's move further south to King's Landing. Cersei just kind of doesn't give a shit. She blew up half the city, and it's just kind of like, yeah, they had it coming.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure, like, awesome. Jaime was like, yeah, we never talked about Tommen, like, your son who committed suicide. And she goes, he betrayed me.
Like
wow.
Damn,
she's
that's
total scorched earth.
Harsh.
But yeah, so Jaime and Cersei are not on the best of terms at the moment.
Definitely not.
He's upset with her.
Yeah.
I don't know. She just kind of wants him to get in line.
She's like, delusional right now, honestly. Like, she has all these enemies, but she's still like, yes. Like, she's writing to Jon. It's like, if you don't come bow to me, like, I'll crush you. And it's like, who's even behind her? As, like, in this moment.
I love, like, Cersei's character is great. She's just going total scorched earth, and you don't know... What I really like is you don't know if she is completely nuts or if this is all calculated and she's trying to intimidate Jon into thinking that she has a lot of... that she has an army that could destroy him. Yeah. And I also love the visual metaphor of Cersei standing on the map of Westeros, because in certain shots, she kind of loomed over the map, like she was very large. But then when she starts talking about enemies to the north, east, south, and west, it cuts to an overhead shot, and she's much smaller. She looks overwhelmed by the map. I thought that was a very good visual metaphor that the show used.
Yeah.
Does Jaime have an official position? Is he... He's not Hand of the King, is he?
Okay. I was wondering that too, because he's definitely not Kingsguard anymore, right?
Well, here's the thing. So, they had a shot when they were looking, because Cersei's plan to help out is to ally with Euron Greyjoy.
Yeah.
And so they have the shot of them, like, looking, of her and Jaime looking at the Greyjoy fleet.
Yeah.
And the Kingsguard are there. And so you have, like, Gregor Clegane zombie. Yeah. And then there were six others, I'm pretty sure, behind him, which would mean that Jaime's not.
So, would Gregor then be the head of the Kingsguard?
Yeah,
that's
I guess he
was.
That's weird.
Wow.
I also really
sleek new Kingsguard uniforms. They changed the color scheme. I like the look. Yeah, it's like kind of like black and like white now.
I completely missed that.
So, on the next Stripped podcast,
talk about Kingsguard fashion, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Euron is kind of slimy, and I guess he's funny in a way.
Yeah, he's coming to marry Cersei. I don't know, he's wearing a lot of leather, he's, like, strutting around. We said, in the books, he's a lot, like, more intimidating, and I think in the show, we've gone, like, cocky, like...
Kind of comical.
Yeah, it is, like, comical.
Almost like Dario a little bit.
Yeah.
He does have a Dario vibe.
Trying to have...
I really liked when he tried to walk up the stairs towards Cersei, and then Gregor, like,
oh, that was
looking,
so
and you
good.
Can't see
yeah,
his face, but he's
get
so
away.
Big. Yeah, that was great.
Get out of here. Yeah.
But yeah, so Cersei turns down his marriage proposal, and then he's like, yeah, that's cool, no problem.
Yeah,
that's
chill.
Takes it in stride, and then so he says he's gonna bring her a gift so that she'll marry him.
To
and
impress her.
Who knows what that will be?
Yeah.
Any ideas?
Definitely a head. That's what I'm thinking.
I think he's gonna try to kill one of the opponents of Cersei.
Like Tyrion.
But I guess it would have to be Tyrion because
that's like the.
But didn't he also say he's going back across the sea and he'll come back with a gift? But there's no one across the sea anymore.
I don't know.
I think it'll be Tyrion.
I think it'll either be he's gonna try to kill someone or he'll try to steal one of Daenerys' dragons.
Yeah.
I don't think that will go well for him if he does. But I wouldn't be that surprised if he tried to.
But I feel like that would be like a pretty quick, I don't know, like for him to just try to meet with Cersei like that for like 1 second and then die after that.
That's true.
That'd
be
a waste
completely
of his
inconsequential.
Character. Yeah.
So I think he's gonna try to kill Tyrion. Because that would be pretty major.
Yeah.
That would be sad. Don't die, Tyrion.
Yeah, please no.
Okay, so I guess let's jump to Sam all the way across Westeros in Old Town.
Lots of screen time in this episode
lots
for Sam.
Of
big
time.
Fan.
A nice Sam montage where he just cleans up people's excrement for like 3 minutes.
And
three minutes.
I like the way it was edited because it started getting kind of musical with like the way
and they had the food too that like kind of looked the same.
His food like
really,
looked like
they
the
clearly
poop.
Put a lot of thought into that montage and a lot of editing energy.
But here's the thing. It doesn't serve any purpose really.
Oh yeah, no.
And it's not like especially pleasant to watch.
No.
I think they just did this to have like their kind of memeable moment for the episode. everyone's going to make jokes
about
like Sam
cleaning of Game of Thrones.
That's exactly this. I really think that's what it is.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
I will say that montage, it could have gone on for like the last 40 minutes of the episode and been better than the Ed Sheeran cameo.
Yeah, that was rough.
We'll get there next.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So it was kind of weird, but like
it was
not
bizarre. It went on for way too long, and I feel like it was kind of like at the end of last season we saw Sam and it's like, oh, he's in this great place for him with all these books. He's going to have, like, a great time. And then it's like, oh, he's actually just cleaning up poop. Like, that's all he's doing.
Yeah. So then after that, we have a nice meeting with the Archmaester, played by Jim Broadbent, a.k.a. Professor Slughorn from Harry Potter. They're going through a cadaver, talking about how the Archmaester believes that the Long Night is real, which is nice. And then Sam goes into the restricted section of the library to research Horcruxes. And by Horcruxes, I of course mean White Walkers.
Obviously.
But the Harry Potter comparison there with the actor is kind of funny. I think it's pretty great.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then he I guess steals some of the books from there, and he's looking at, like, he finds a map of Dragonstone that has a bunch of dragon glass, which obviously we were talking about with John is something that's going to be pretty valuable fighting the White Walkers, yeah. And it's. So I think that's going to be how Danny and John end up.
Yeah,
interacting,
that's what I was going to say too.
Is because they're going to want John's going to want the Dragonstone from or the dragon glass from Dragonstone, and that's where Daenerys is now.
It kind of seemed too like when they set up the preview or whatever for the next episode, it was like her choosing between like trying to attack King's Landing now, or I'm assuming like help John.
Yeah, I think they meant in the preview for the next episode also when they're showing like a scene with John. I think they mention Daenerys. So
amazing.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. The two Targaryens.
Yeah.
Although one doesn't know, meeting up.
Damn.
Also, so when he's looking through that book and finds the Dragonglass at Dragonstone map, Gilly and her kid are there, but I thought they weren't allowed into the Citadel. I don't really know
are
how
we
that works.
In the Citadel? Like, I thought you stayed there, but it looked like a little house or something.
I think that situation is just kind of going to go unexplained.
Does the Citadel provide housing for its
ministers?
Okay, well then, I guess. Yeah. Well, wasn't I feel like there was a conflict about that last season.
Yeah, they weren't going to let Gilly in.
Yeah. So I guess they just kind of...
But also, like, I don't know what purpose they're serving anymore. Like... What are they?
They found the dragon glass map.
I think Sam's going to be
the baby.
Well, I think they're just there because like that's part of Sam's character arc, and Sam's such a wholesome and good. He's one of like the only genuinely good characters on the show, so you can't have him just throw away his wife and son in order to go research for John. No, if Sam dies, I give up on the show.
last Sam thing is so we got a nice. I guess technically we don't know, but
we know.
It was Jorah in that prison cell.
Jorah.
His arm was looking not great.
Disgusting. Looking real gnarly.
Yeah.
But also, how did he end up in a prison in Old Town?
I'm confused too. Like, are we keeping like sick people in prison? Like, what? Why would there be a prison there? Why?
Like, Game of Thrones needs to play more. Like, they play so fast and loose with geography. Like, last, in the season finale of season 6, you had teleporting Varys, who goes from Dorne to being with Daenerys in the span of one scene.
Yeah.
And then you have Jorah, who last time we checked was across the sea, and Daenerys sent him away. And then somehow, right before Daenerys gets to Westeros, Jorah's suddenly locked up in the set. Like, how does that... I feel like that's not something major that they can take a substantial amount of time to explain.
No.
But at the same time, like, that's something that's annoying.
Yeah.
How does
that
happen?
Yeah. And I guess, too, like, it makes sense that he's at the Citadel, because she, like, told him to, like, find a cure, and, like, of course, like, the maesters, like, they're the ones.
Yeah, if there's going to be a cure anyway,
but,
that's
like,
where it'd be.
I don't know why they're keeping him, like, locked up. Maybe it's, like, to, like, set, like, I don't know, it's, like, a contagious disease. Who knows? Whatever.
It's strange.
Yeah.
Anyway,
He's obsessed with Daenerys, as always.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of strange, let's move to the strangest scene of the episode, in which Arya encounters a group of Lannister soldiers, one of whom is very noticeably Ed Sheeran.
It was literally horrifying. I was horrified.
It was bad.
It was so bad. Okay, and they also,
really
like, they had him singing, and I was like, this is literally trash. I feel like he, like, paid them to do this or something.
It
was disgusting.
It went on for so long, too. It was just like, cool, like, Ed Sheeran's there. That's fine if we see him for 2 seconds.
But no,
and then,
keep his face.
He's just in the whole
scene. Don't draw attention to it.
Yeah.
And I really hope he gets beheaded.
Yeah.
I think he's...
I did think, like, I thought it was, like, leading up to, like, Arya killing them. Because obviously before, I feel like her and the Hound, when they found the Lannister soldiers, they were dead, like, within a few
I think,
minutes,
like, the point of the scene was, like, seeing people who were, like, her enemies, hypothetically.
Yeah, who are actually fine.
Because, like, at this point, she's kind of, like, this assassination monster.
Yeah.
So I guess it kind of humanizes her a little bit if she's like, ah, there's good people on both sides.
boring.
But, that was a weird one.
That was...
Did you notice what song they were singing, Caitlin?
No.
It was the song... That when Tyrion hires in the books, when Tyrion hires that one bard for Joffrey's wedding,
and then
he finds out about Shay and writes the song about them, that's the song that he was singing, right?
Oh, that's so good.
So that
good.
Was cool.
Okay.
So I was actually okay with the song.
I never would have known that.
Yeah, that was like a deep dive, but that is the one thing in that scene that I did appreciate. Okay, so yeah, that was weird.
But still probably the worst scene in
the movie. Not a good scene otherwise.
Literally just for Ed Sheeran, I'm pretty sure.
And then, so I guess let's go to the Hound and the what it remains of the Brotherhood Without Banners with Beric and Thoros. The Hound is kind of as funny as he ever has been with his sass.
Yes.
I feel like everyone, when he had the whole season with Arya, they were talking about like how great that chemistry was, and it definitely was. But I feel like whoever the Hound interacts with, he just has great chemistry with
them. That's true, yeah.
Like,
he's so deadpan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's pretty great. But he's nicer now than he has been, definitely. Obviously, you saw that with him burying the two people.
Yeah, and even when he, walked into the house, and he was just, kind of, looking at their, I don't know,
he was,
in the corner, he was definitely...
He was really reluctant to go in.
Yeah.
Which I thought initially was because he thought there might be danger, but maybe it was because he didn't want to infringe upon the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just, I really like what they've done with the Hound.
Me too.
Yeah. He still has the edge, but at the same time, he seems like he's a much softer and gentler... character.
And also has the power to see into the flames.
That was
also
That was awful.
Yeah, there were a lot of moments in this episode that were just kind of why are they
he just could magically the Hound see the White Walkers in the flames and all this stuff, and I swear I definitely thought he was joking at first. I was ready for him to be I can see nothing, but it was serious, and that made it so much worse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The one thing is, so in the Jon scene, when he's talking about, kind of preparing for the White Walkers, he talks about the wildlings manning the wall. And he mentions Eastwatch by the Sea, which is, closest to Hardhome. And then it seems like Sandor kind of hints at that also.
Yeah, he saw.
So it seems it seems like Eastwatch by the Sea is going to be involved, which would make me think that there's going to be, probably that's where the first battle between, the White Walkers and the Wildlings / North
I'm
going
to be real upset if Tormund dies, because
Jon
told him to go to Eastwatch, and when I heard
that,
I was
no.
No!
Oh, no.
I'll be so upset.
Yeah. So then I guess we just have the final scene of the episode. Not a whole lot happens, but what does happen is kind of has been a long time coming.
Yeah.
Daenerys and her crew finally get to Westeros.
Finally.
We've got the nice scene of Daenerys kind of kneeling on the sand and pressing her hand into it, which I thought was nice.
I thought it was a little, overrated and cheesy,
I thought they were going to do where, she's stepping off the boat, she pauses. And it's one small step for Daenerys, but one large step for everyone who's watched the show, because it's taken 6 seasons to get her to Westeros.
God.
Yeah.
And
she's
technically not on the mainland, the island off of Westeros.
I was really worried they were going to spend 3 episodes of her sailing, and
would
have
too.
Snapped. Just be get to where you're trying to go.
Yeah.
The one thing, because I need to make a complaint about every scene, that I didn't love, and this isn't actually a new thing because they've had Dragonstone before, but I feel like there's so much potential to make Dragonstone this really cool place, because it was, the one castle in Westeros that was built by the Targaryens, a long time ago, when they still had, their magic and all that, and so it just seems like they could do
a lot cooler
stuff with it. It just kind of seems like a slightly different King's Landing.
It was. Even,
the
throne room.
The throne room, right?
Come on.
It was, this kind of, these pillars.
Yeah,
it's, these pillars on the side, and then this fancy throne in the middle.
It kind of reminded me of the Vale for a bit.
Also, they kind of
thought it was the Vale, and then I was like, wait a second, is it the Vale? Where's the thing in the floor?
I guess they just kind of make all their throne rooms the same. They've got one set guy who's I know this way to do it.
Got to
this time it'll be different, I swear. It never works out.
All right, so that's everything for this episode.
Do you want to give overall grades?
Yeah, let's give give an out of 10. Let's give an out of 10.
Out of 10, okay.
Do you want to actually?
Oh, okay. Wow, sorry. Yeah, I'm just going to.
After you.
I'll say a 6 for me. Obviously, I didn't have high expectations coming into it because we talked about this. You just have to set everything up in the first episode, blah, blah, blah. The Ed Sheeran really took a lot off for me. I don't know. I feel like the dialogue wasn't as great also, but maybe I'm just being a pessimist.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good episode of television, but, you have to grade it on, the Game of Thrones scale.
Exactly.
I would give it, a 4. I really was not a big fan. The Ed Sheeran scene was really bad, and there was only really, one or two scenes that I was this is great. But probably the scene between Jon and Sansa and Jaime and, Cersei were the only two scenes where I was like, yes, this is good. This moved the plot along. Yeah. I was not a big fan of them. There were too many moments that pulled me out, like the stupid Sam montage and the Ed Sheeran cameo and the Hound being able to see things in the fire. It was just, there were a lot of moments that pulled me out of the episode. But again, you know, I'm still excited for next week.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I'm going to give it a 6. But I think that, like, I don't know, my rating system, a 6 is good. A 5 is average, so I would say this was slightly better than average. But I'm not, also not, I'm not going to grade it on, like, a Game of Thrones scale. I think just 6 out of 10 as an episode of television. There was enough cool stuff where, like, I liked the episode.
Yeah.
Ed Sheeran was weird. Yeah. Don't do that anymore, please, Game of Thrones.
Please never again.
Okay.
He's gonna get beheaded.
Yeah. So with that, we've reached the end of episode 2, discussing episode 1. Thanks for tuning in. You can follow The Voice at G-Town Voice on Twitter or at Halftime GU for Halftime. Make sure to subscribe to The Voice Podcast Network on whatever platform you so choose, unless it isn't on that platform, in which case pick a different platform. So, see you guys next week.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you.